The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
If I can be serious for a minute, without being interrupted.
Excuse me!
What? What?
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
We don't just set the bar. We are the bar.
Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
You're listening to the High Spot Podcast. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin, alongside the trendsetter Brian Perga. We are on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. We got a great show for you today. We've got from Ring of Honor, Beer City Bruiser will join us in our interview, sponsored by Connor and Elbow. Trendsetter, so much to talk about. But first, follow us on all our social media platforms at High Spot Podcast. Trendsetter, we're coming off of Backlash. I don't know what the hell we watched, but how the hell are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing better than that event that supposedly we tried to make sense out of. But where the hell can you hear us, Jeff? You can hear us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star rating, leave a review. It only takes a few seconds, which we wish Backlash lasted only a few seconds. Check us out on SoundCloud. Tune in Google Play, Stitcher, and Podbean. Wow, Jeff. That's the only word I can say as well. Plus, we always have a great show.
Yeah, you can also catch our YouTube channel that's up and running. Just go to High Spot Podcast, click that, and you can check out great exclusive interviews, of course, from our trip to Supercard of Honor as well as WrestleCon with such names like Marty Scurll and Adam Hangman Page, as well as Jack Swagger, Sienna the Savage, and Ali from Impact, who is the current Knockouts champion, and so much more. And of course, you can also catch the miniseries that is what's keeping us running, what's paying the bills. That is Adventures with the Trendsetter. What do you got going on there, Trendsetter? You like that, right? I'm actually paying you some homage.
Yeah, I wish it was paying me some money. But now, again, we thank all the listeners and all the members of the crew that not only listen to the show, but also subscribe, listen to us on all our social media platforms as well, plus watching our YouTube channel, which is brand new. It's literally only months in, or we got close to 300 subscribers, so we thank you guys all for your support. We couldn't do it without you, and we especially do it for you as well. But what we got coming up is, you know, continuing the AVNs and kind of getting those out of the way now, have Mr. Pete, an adult film performer who has been in the business for almost 18 years. So again, he shows his longevity and his ability to kind of continue making a name
There's
for himself
in
a very competitive business. There's somewhere there, Jeff, but you know, your high school mind, get it out of the gutter, Jeff. Get it out. As well as a veteran and legend herself in the adult film industry, Julianne was gracious enough to give us some time and talk to her a little bit about, you know, social media and all the aspects in terms of what it takes to be successful in the adult film industry, much like world of professional wrestling. You know, there's some link there, because when we were in Las Vegas, Jeff, we saw a lot of fans there giving us the two sweets. So you know what? There is some interconnection there, and hopefully it gives you guys a smile on your face and allows you to chuckle a little bit.
Yeah, well, you talk about smiling on our faces and chuckling. That's one thing we're not doing on Sunday. And just touch base, right after the Greatest Royal Rumble, we were into Backlash because that was the next week. It's right here in our backyard here in Newark, New Jersey, at The Rock at the Prudential Center. And all I got to say is, man, a lot of head-scratching moves, a lot of just some things that you're just wondering what the hell is going on. And, you know, now we're to a point in professional wrestling where I'm checking social media, I'm checking Twitter, and we are concerned about who's producing these matches. So now, now that these, you know, sheets leak out of exactly, you know, who the competitors, who's the agent, who's producing this, the main thing is who's booking this crap, and it's still Vince McMahon. So as long as you're going to get that, that's who, you know, you should, you know, point the finger to. Don't be blaming a TJ Wilson, or don't be blaming, you know, Road Dogg, although you want, if you're going to blame him for SmackDown, you can do that. But, you know, now we're in the world. You know, think about it. 10 years ago, were we oh, who produced that? No, we weren't, like, who produced that. But now everything is accessible. That's what we're worried about. And that is crazy trendsetter. That's our main concern. So now not only is it like who's pushing these people, but now it's who is producing this. And I'm like shaking my head because I just can't believe it, man. That's what it's come down to. Who's producing this?
Unfortunately, it's the reality of the situation, Jeff. Because wrestling has been so accessible, because the curtain has been pulled back a little bit further now, where everybody kind of has the ins and outs of what's going on. Supposedly, they think they do. Everybody's a booker, man. Everybody's more concerned about the outcome of what something's going to happen and where the storyline is leading, rather than letting the whole story play out on its own and really turning back to being a fan. Everybody's now a critic sense. You know, we try not to be critics in terms of we try to break it down, try to understand it, try to make sense of it. If we agree with it, great. If we don't, we don't. But at the same time, it's kind of hard to toe that line, because right now everybody in not just the world of professional wrestling, Jeff, but everybody feels entitled to have an opinion.
Yeah, so we got treated to a really good opening matchup, and this is where I'm going to set my topic that I want to discuss, and that is you saw Seth Rollins and The Miz. Totally good matchup, probably the best matchup of the night. And when you think of a card that, you know, to me, again, was another loaded card, this matchup to open it really did a great job. The Miz actually did a very good job. But Seth Rollins, in my opinion, is slowly but surely becoming the man. The crowd loves him. And of course, he continued it on Monday Night Raw with a win over Mojo Rawley. And to me, this is a guy that who we were talking about. Something's missing with Seth. You know, he needs to get back to the top of the ladder. He, no pun intended, with Money in the Bank coming shortly. But just your thoughts on Seth Rollins. Has he redeemed himself? Has he gotten back to the point where he was, say, maybe at WrestleMania 31 when he was the man? Do you think a guy like Seth Rollins could kind of deviate the idea that Roman Reigns is still the dog, the big dog, still the main guy?
Well, I think that question you just put out to me, I think we've already been discussing about it when we've spoken about superstars like, for example, Braun Strowman. Seth Rollins has finally regained that momentum. I think there's a period where people were very cautious of him. First of all, cautious of the fact that he's portraying this character that didn't really feel that much authentic, in my opinion. It's kind of hard to see him that way. It still is to a certain point for me. But in terms of the workhorse, I mean, that's basically what they want the Intercontinental Championship to be. They want it to be the workman's title. They want basically the main focus to be on that, granted for the fact that the Universal title cannot be defended every single week because Brock Lesnar's not going to be showing up every single week. But yeah, it does beg the question, the fact that maybe Seth can work his way back up to the top, because as you've mentioned several times before, Jeff, Raw seems to be the land of the giants, and it seems like the momentum Seth's going on right now will kind of maybe help him skew the perspective of people who are in charge of thinking, hey, maybe right now it's not about the size or how big or necessarily the experiment of who wants to be the face of this company. Maybe somebody like Seth Rollins can kind of work his way in the middle and capture that momentum that he had not too long ago before he got injured.
You know, and this idea to me that The Miz was, and I know you're going to call me out on this because you're saying that I at one point said that The Miz makes the Intercontinental title relevant, but I think that The Miz...
Not that he makes it relevant, he helped make it more relevant.
I think that Seth Rollins, what he does is he has that wrestling point, that wrestling aspect where he's going to...
Yeah, Shawn Michaels, Mr. Perfect, you know you're going to get a good match when you see him.
I think, I believe, too. And a lot of guys can be it. Like, Finn Balor can be a workhorse as well. A lot of other guys can do so. But to me, it's those two guys that I think can be the workhorse on Raw.
And you just made up a good point, too, with Seth Rollins and the work he did with Mojo Rawley. I mean, what did he ever do? But he had a good match with him, which is what you need to be when you're a champion. You need to make the others... they're in the ring with you, look better than what they really are.
Yeah, totally agree. When you have guys like Jason Jordan, they're going to return eventually, and you have guys like Jinder Mahal maybe in the Intercontinental title picture eventually one day. You need a guy like Seth to be the workhorse. But again, going back to the Miz point, I really believe that, yes, the Miz did something too, but I think Seth can make it better, and I think as far as the wrestling aspect, that's why I think I tend to lean more to Seth Rollins can really get the IC title back to that level that it was back, you know, in the early 90s, even the 2000s to an extent.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely can, and I think that's the direction they're going in, so I really feel it's going to be a lengthy title reign for Seth Rollins, you know, barring any foreseen things happening where, you know, injuries and stuff like that. You don't wish that to happen at all, and I don't want to jinx it. But at the same time, the only reason why I'm giving Miz the credit for anything, really, is the mere fact that, you know, we wouldn't be talking about this right now if it wasn't all the hard work that The Miz did to even bring eyes and attention to it. Regardless of the wrestling ability, Jeff, regardless if you can have five-star matches, it's basically putting eyes on the prize, which is the IC title, which hasn't been that that noticeable in the last, 5 years? It could be a fair assessment to make. So now Seth is going to be that new transitional person that can take that ball and take it further where Miz couldn't.
All right, so that is our thoughts as far as like what Seth Rollins has contributed to, especially in that matchup with The Miz. But I got to go back now to just a quick rundown because, of course, it's not really a card that kind of everyone's raving about. They're actually talking about it in a negative way, but just going to shine a little bit of light on each match really quick here as we go down. Daniel Bryan and Big Cass. Big Cass, to me, is just a big dude. He's 7 feet tall. Yeah, you can't teach that, but you know what? He needs so much more to do that if he's... He needs so much more to learn if he's going to be in a ring with Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan can make you look good, but you know what? He's just, to me, is not on the skill level yet to be a top echelon wrestler, especially on SmackDown. He's going to get more opportunities. It looks like it's a one-time, not a one-time thing here between Daniel Bryan and Big Cass. But, I mean, Big Cass is just, to me, needs so much more work.
Well, I think that your issue with him is something that I see similar to him, or for example, I see something similar to like a Baron Corbin. It's just very bland. You know, in comparison, in terms of personalities, I think Big Cass
has a great tan, but he's bland.
Yep. Yeah, he's bland, but has a great tan as well, and has more of a personality than Baron Corbin ever did, where he can actually address things and put sentences together that make sense, where he's trying to get to a certain point. But you're right, his in-ring skill is very limited at best. I don't know if it's him working off ring rust since he hasn't been in the ring since he injured his knee and tore his ACL, but ultimately, here's the thing. The only thing he has advantage to him right now, Jeff, is for the fact that he's a big man. You know, size does matter in the WWE to a degree where you have more opportunities as opposed to if you're a little bit more undersized like a Daniel Bryan and you were kind of failing to capture the attention of the audience, then they'd be quick to cut the cord. So, it's not a one-time thing like you said before. Hopefully, Daniel Bryan can help bring something out of Big Cass other than just him, you know, having a big-sized boot going across the face of Daniel Bryan. So, interesting to see how this progresses. Like I said, I see potential.
I'm really not interested in it at all.
That's your opinion, but I'm interested to see the progression of Big Cass to see if there's something salvageable here. Ultimately, I think there is something there, but basically, if Daniel Bryan can't bring it out of him, then I don't know who can.
All right, Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton was bland. I really don't want to get into that because it was...
Okay, let's move on then.
It's what we thought.
It happened. Move on to the next match, Jeff.
Yeah, okay. So we got,
it's true, right? Because it's what we expected.
Yeah, so Jeff Hardy and obviously, okay, and I'm going back to Jeff Hardy. I don't know why, but Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss. My issue is that is Alexa Bliss got way too much offense for somebody who is, you know, much smaller than Nia Jax. And then Nia Jax is being booked to be clumsy. And then what was the worst of it all, the icing on the cake, was Nia Jax's speech towards the end because he was so scripted, yeah. So non-organic, and so like... Can we get to the point where, like, we don't see somebody being different from other people? It even hurts me to see Nia Jax even have to say that because, you know what? It shouldn't be, again, oh, I'm different. It just should be okay. I'm a woman's wrestler, but WWE has to get their agenda out there and say, you know, the anti-bullying and I'm different and yada, yada, yada. Yet in another match, they have two giants beating up on smaller wrestlers. We'll get to that in a little bit, but yeah. You know, this matchup, again, Nia Jax won, but they just made it look so clumsy. And, you know, Alexa Bliss, I thought she was going to win this match, but, you know, it didn't happen. Nia Jax keeps it. But I just don't – what bothers me more is just the booking of Nia Jax because now she's too nice, a gentle giant, and they should have started off her being a badass and then maybe be a face down the road. But I'm just not, thrilled with the way Nia Jax is booked.
Oh, yeah, Jeff, you're losing energy there for the fact that you're so
heated. Quit talking, I need water.
You're so heated over it. But, no, I would agree with you. I mean, ever since the beginning of the fact that Nia Jax was going to turn babyface and the progression there, because prior to that, when she wasn't a fan favorite, they were building it up to be this Braun Strowman-type character, the irresistible force.
And that's what I liked.
What you're seeing, too, is like you mentioned, she was very clumsy. Alexa Bliss had a lot of the offense. Maybe that's the way they're working storyline-wise, to kind of show some type of vulnerability for Nia Jax. But I just hate the fact – this is my biggest gripe with it, Jeff. I just dislike the fact that if you're going to go this route, right, it's not about the story between Nia and Alexa, the friendship and the betrayal and all that stuff. It's about those agendas that I feel like WWE has where they want to talk about loving yourself, about, you know, loving the size. myself, being plus size or being skinny, doesn't matter. You have to love who you are and bully and stuff like that. We've seen that time and time again. And when you put that in a storyline, it just, you know, you're just taken away from the story that you want to tell, which are these two former friends, you know, now kind of rivaling against each other. But, you know, you think with Alexa and the great momentum she's had, would have great matches. WrestleMania wasn't necessarily the best match to see her and Nia. You thought
that was actually better. That was actually better than this match.
It was better, but at the same time, if you compare, of course, the WrestleMania match was better. But when you're looking at it from, you know, how we talk with AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura, you just thought there's going to be something there because they had such good on-screen chemistry that unfortunately hasn't lived up to the billing. So I don't know if they're going to continue this. I still think they're going to move on to Alexa, Mickie James, Ronda Rousey, and Natalya, and Nia Jax move on to something else. But right now I'm kind of waiting for the end of the storyline to move on, and hopefully Nia Jax gains some momentum in a new storyline.
All right, and then the matchup that I believe is the anti-opposite of what Nia Jax said, it was Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Here's the fact where now there's a dysfunctional friendship, which is kind of like ours, Trendsetter, between KO and Sami Zayn.
Well, first of all, they have a friendship. We don't have a friendship. We just work together.
Okay, a partnership, I guess. I guess we're affiliated because we work under the same podcast. But, yeah, so here's the thing where Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley just basically threw Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn around. And then, of course, there's a little bit of tension now between KO and Sami. That's going to be interesting to see what happens, you know, heading down.
There's always been tension between those two.
And it's really funny, man. They have a great dynamic too, but Kevin Owens can't keep.
How funny is it that during that whole match that we saw, and it's amazing, we saw the entire match, we were more entertained by the interaction between Kevin and Sami than anything that Bobby Lashley was doing, anything that Braun Strowman was doing.
Yeah,
the only thing funny Braun Strowman is that shoulder tackle.
Yeah,
the shoulder tackle. That is hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Kevin Owens re-signs a 5-year extension. He's a lifer, man. He loves the WWE. He's a fan. So, you know, to those wondering, oh, what are they doing with Kevin, especially on Monday night when he failed to qualify for the Money in the Bank against Braun Strowman. He's getting, again, once again, selling like crazy for Braun Strowman. Again, though, he's there for 5 years and many more years to come, I believe, too. So it's not all bad for Kevin Owens, but I'm just wondering where exactly he fits now in any kind of title picture. Where exactly is his friendship with Sami Zayn going? So that's going to be interesting to see what happens. But again, Bobby Lashley, then, of course, if you stayed up for that disaster, which was an interview with Bobby Lashley, I think that the interview did more to hurt him, that sit-down interview, than to, you know, do anything else. He actually acknowledged that
I didn't watch it.
You didn't, yeah, exactly. Right?
I didn't watch it.
No?
Like you said, that interview did more to hurt him than to help him out, too. And
we know
just
he has
like
sisters, though. We know he has sisters.
The momentum he had to go in, the mere fact that
no
we had
momentum.
Discussed about
no momentum whatsoever.
Well, he did when we initially started, Jeff, not anymore now. But the thing is, the fact that we were actually talking about what other obstacles, what other challenges could there be for a guy like Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley is one of those names right now. That's the one guy now you wish not even in the category now of contenders for Brock Lesnar, because nobody would want to see that anymore. The buildup would be terrible.
I mean, yeah, you'd have to depend on Paul Heyman to hype it up because you know Brock's not going to talk.
He could do it, though.
And Bobby, I know, but yeah, he could actually promote
he could it. Actually. He could pull it off.
He could. But Bobby Lashley, man, I don't know what exactly to do with that. But then you go to the matchup that is probably one of the biggest head-scratchers, and that is Carmella and Charlotte Flair. Carmella, you know, she won. She won clean. And it makes you think, man, what the hell was that then with Asuka and Charlotte, man? Poor Asuka now, who couldn't beat Charlotte, but Carmella is able to cash in Money in the Bank, beat Charlotte 1-2-3, and then also beat Charlotte 1-2-3 here at Backlash, getting the clean victory. Wow, it kind of, you know, kind of kills Asuka out of, you know, and the funny thing, she didn't even wrestle in this matchup, but really does a lot of harm to Asuka, I believe, and her value to SmackDown and going forward.
Yeah, I read something not too long ago, Jeff, where everybody's talking about this whole Roman Reigns experiment now. Was it over? Should they restart again? I think the whole Asuka experiment is over, in my opinion. I think the momentum she had coming from NXT was great, but they purposely took her streak away from her for the mere fact that as much as she transitioned to the audience in NXT, did a good amount of that on the main roster, they just feel for the fact that her lack of connecting, her lack of the English language, very similar to what they're doing with Shinsuke Nakamura, is just too much to overbear, and so they're going to kind of minimize that character more, which is why she lost at WrestleMania, which is now you have Carmella in here, because although Carmella, say whatever you want about her wrestling ability too, you know, she has that typical heel heat where you just hate her in terms of what she's saying, she talks trash, but she does it very well.
Yeah, no, I love the heat that she, you know, gets from the crowd. I think it's great. I think she knows how to draw it, but I just am I just don't believe that she is on the same level as a Charlotte. And no, no I'm not question. Asking her to be on the same
no
level.
Question. She's not.
Yeah, but I totally believe though that Carmella still has a lot to gain. I think she has more of a bright side, more of a more promising career ahead of her, because I think she can learn. Unlike Cass, who's just oddly shaped, more legs than anything like that. So, but again, Carmella retains the championship, and we'll
and
see
the mere
what
fact that
Asuka
wasn't on this card kind of shows you now what the company thinks of her, because that's not a good sign of one of your major stars and talent, especially your top female on the SmackDown roster, is not on the card. That's saying a lot.
Yeah, and then the WWE Championship match between AJ and Shinsuke. You talk about looking forward to a rivalry. I think that WWE has done everything to make me not look forward to any more matches between these guys, because you have a situation where the match was pretty good. It was pretty decent. The crowd popped huge when AJ Styles did the low blow on Shinsuke, and then the match ends in a count, you know, with both men being counted, you know, unable to get up for the 10 count. And it's because they kicked each other and they lowballed each other. So, I mean, kick to the groins are funny, but not if you pay your hard-earned money to go to Backlash and get a
They make great memes,
contest.
Though. They really do.
They do make great memes. Just so there was tons of memes that I was
mission
showing.
Accomplished, yeah. WWE, for that. But you're right. It does kind of sour the fact that this is a dream match we wanted for so long, and they built it up for so long, and then it didn't deliver at WrestleMania to the extent they wanted to. And now this continued rivalry, which doesn't seem to be over just yet, you lead to this no disqualification match, and that's your ending. Granted, should I say, you know, AJ retains it. I thought he was going to retain it, but, you know, I guess they threw a curveball at us, not expecting to see that, but, ultimately, a very lackluster storyline, and, I'm just glad to see when it's over, because to see AJ and Samoa Joe, a potential feud there, I mean, it's like ever hopes up. We thought the same thing was going to happen with AJ and Shinsuke, but I think I'm leaning more towards that now to see what the outcome is going to be in the storyline between Shinsuke and AJ.
Yeah, and I'm like, so promising. I remember being there in New Orleans, being so excited for Shinsuke and AJ, and then ever since then, it's just been letdown after letdown as far as the quality.
That was the talk that weekend. It was Cody, Kenny,
so much better,
and AJ Shinsuke. Yeah.
And then we had, of course, as you mentioned, Samoa Joe. We transitioned into the biggest head scratcher of them all, and that is Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe. Let me just preface by saying that I have no issue with Roman Reigns whatsoever.
The mere fact you have to state it means you do.
I believe he is a good wrestler. I believe that if I was the guy that was being the given the ball time in and time out from the WWE, it's not really my fault, because they want to go with me. You know, they believe in me. Regardless if it's pushing me down somebody's throat as far as like pushing me to be this main eventer, okay, it's, you know, the WWE. And I think they need to realize that this experiment with Roman Reigns is not working. And it can work eventually. I'm not saying it's failed. A lot of people, what bothers me is a lot of people are like, oh, how can we save Roman Reigns? He doesn't need to be saved, because the man is an outstanding athlete and a good wrestler. But I just think right now, as far as the experiment is, you know what? It's not working right now. We can go back to it in a year. The man is a heel. He's saying kind of heel things. If you talk about it, and again, there's that shade of gray. He calls himself the uncrowned champion. He believes he should be representing the WWE, that they should have a full-timer be that universal champion. He is kind of, you know, speaking under heel pretenses. So it's so easy here, and I'm pretty sure that will some people cheer if he turns heel? Yes, because they'll be validated, because they said this is what we should have done all along. But at the end of the day, look what The Rock had to do. He was pushed to the moon as a face. People got sick of it. He became a heel. He found himself, because it's so much easier. The pressure, the burden is less on Roman Reigns. And then at the end of the day, he'll be your face. He is the face. Because when you see Braun, yes, he's great, but he can't. But let's be honest. Vince McMahon loves how you look in a suit. He loves how you do interviews. Okay? And he is still the face of the WWE in the near future. But if you just take a timeout and you put Roman Reigns and you make him a heel and you give him that 6 months to a year to develop it, and I tell you, organically, he will become a face. And that's how you do it. And I think that's big rebellion here with the fans. But in no way is Roman Reigns a failed experiment.
I don't think it's as easy as you're making it out to be, Jeff, honestly. I mean, I know a lot of people want the heel turn. I mean, how many times have they wanted that for John Cena? And, you know, granted, you're probably never going to get it. Even if you do, what good is it going to do? For me, here's the difference between, like, a John Cena, Roman Reigns, or, like, The Rock that you made the comparison to, Jeff. The difference is that The Rock, at least, showed glimpses of having somewhat of a personality, having showing somewhat of those traits that you want to see their kind of heelish. Now, Roman Reigns does do that, but it doesn't seem very authentic to me. You see him do interviews. He does great press for the WWE of being that face for the company, right? But when it's time for him to take the microphone and basically kind of, you know, do your homework, as, you know, John Cena would say, and get ready to react to when something happens, I just don't see that from him. He has those instincts, but it's not very natural for him. So if he turns a heel, yes, great. He could do more heelish things. But, you know, I think what's also really hurting him as well is that I feel like the WWE is tirelessly trying to not force down our throat the fact that he is your guy. We get that, Jeff. We've gotten that for how many years? It's the mere fact they're trying to make us feel sorry for him, make us think that he's an underdog, to make us feel sorry that, you know, he's, you know, we can get behind him so he can overcome. That's not going to happen. Nobody's going to feel sorry for Roman Reigns. Nobody's going to want to get behind him and think he's an underdog, because it's just really difficult for a guy of his look and stature to be portray that. So if you're going to do it 100% the way they were doing it before, and then commit to it and stick with it. If you keep changing it, you're only hurting the character you've been trying to build for so long.
Most definitely. But again, we're going to, you know, choose to, you know, differ on that opinion that we have of Roman. But again, this matchup here, and of course, you see the fans walking away. Now, it could be too that the match went past 11, so a lot of people got to get out of there. It's Monday, the next day. People got to go to work. People got to go to school.
Some of the reactions of those fans, I don't think had anything to do with staying home, staying late.
I get it. Listen, I am not lying to myself or kidding myself. That's not the rejection of Roman Reigns, because that's what it is. A lot of people were pulling for Samoa Joe. The second that Samoa Joe had that offense in the beginning and he threw him into the announce table, the crowd was going nuts. They were insane, because Samoa Joe needed this match more. And I just think that if they would take a step back, and then this would have pushed maybe like Roman Reigns to the verge that he turns, you know, on Monday night, it would have been great. But again, just dropping the ball here. And if you take a look at Backlash, I think it was failed opportunities, you know, and it makes people lucky that there's other options, to watch. And like Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor War of the Worlds tour starts this week. They're in Lowell, Massachusetts. They're in Toronto, Ontario. They're going to be in Royal Oak, Michigan. And they're also going to wrap it up in Chicago, Illinois this Sunday.
God bless you for saying that. I can never say the word Massachusetts. I can't, I'm not even going
to
try.
You can't say Massachusetts?
Yeah, it's difficult for me to
say. Massachusetts, by the way. I say Massachusetts.
Yes, I can't. I'm not even going to try. You know how horrible I am making up words that don't make sense to begin with.
Yeah, but yeah, so it's going to be a huge
so exciting. I'm so excited for World of the War. Yeah, War. I can't even talk now. I'm so excited. War of the Worlds. It's going to be so cool.
Yeah, it's a tour, and again, it's going to be amazing, and it's going to be headlined too by, it's going to be headlined by New Japan, too. They will be there.
Yeah.
And it's going to be against the Bullet Club will be there, too. You've got great matches there. You've got Silas Young taking on Austin Aries on Saturday, which is going to be amazing. That is a very much anticipated matchup. And we got a chance to talk to Beer City Bruiser.
We did. But before that, I have to tell you, I'm so excited for another match that's going to happen in Lowell, Massachusetts. Yes, I said it right. Oh, my goodness. A friend of the show is Skylar.
Skylar.
You guys, you want to catch her on Twitter. It's Hot Scoop Skylar on Instagram and Twitter as well. She is going to now be part of that event, tag teaming with Deanna Purrazzo against Tennille Dashwood. And I don't know if Brandi Rhodes is going to make it now, because
she needs to have surgery on
her shoulder and has a broken collarbone. So we know who's going to fill in that gap there. But so happy and excited for Skylar. Shout out to you. So happy, because we interviewed her late December of 2017 at Pro Wrestling Magic. And, you know, sky's the limit. We kind of, when we saw her face Jordynne Grace in that match, we're like, man, this girl's got it. And now she's going to be doing it at Ring of Honor.
Yeah, so yeah, again, yeah, a little shout out to a former guest on the show, the High Spot Podcast, and Skylar. So definitely Ring of Honor, she get to showcase her talent. So definitely happy for her. So, but we got Beer City Bruiser now. Oh, yeah. And of course, he will be there too. He will be in a six-man tag to open things up in Lowell, Massachusetts, as he teams up with Silas Young as well as Brian Malonis. They will take on Los Ingobernables de Japón, which is one of the major teams in New Japan, LIJ, which, of course, you hear Beer City Bruiser say, it's much easier to say that. It's going to be Naito, Sonata, and Evil. So looking forward to that one. He also has Naito to the next night in Toronto, Ontario. So it's going to be a huge tour.
Huge
for Ring of Honor. And here's the chance to talk to Beer City Bruiser. But first, let's talk about our sponsor, Collar and Elbow. It is an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion. from cool-looking headwear to great-looking men's and women's shirts. Check out the entire spring fashion line by going to collarxelbowbrand.com. Save 10% on your entire online purchase just by entering promo code HIGHSPOTPODCAST, all in caps. So here is Beer City Bruiser on the High Spot Podcast. All right, Trendsetter, Ring of Honor War of the Worlds Tour begins this week, and we're joined now by Beer City Bruiser, who will be in action on the opening night of this as he teams up with Silas Young and Brian Malonis, and they will take on the team of Tetsuya Naito, Evil, and Sonata, better known as Los Ingobernables de Japan, de Japón. Beer City, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just getting ready for the tour.
Yeah, how's it feel, man? I read on your Twitter that you took a few days off, and now you're getting back on the road. You excited to get back there?
Yeah, I'm real excited. It's always good taking some time off and going back to your roots and letting the body heal. But wrestling's my life, and just a few days away makes me want it even more and more. So I'm real excited for this tour that's coming up.
All right, so talk about that, man. You have a big six-man tag team match, and you're, you know, what a way to get things started on the tour. And you got to take on you know, Naito, Evil, and Sonata. Just talk about that that group, that tag team.
Well, I'm real excited for that. We're gonna make an impact. Over the Honor Rising tour, when I was over in Japan, I think I made a little bit of an impact on the New Japan officials. You know, with the match with Hiroki Goto. And now they're putting LIJ against me, Silas, and Brian. We're definitely not taking this too light. Like, we're going in there full guns blazing. You know, we're going to punch some people in the mouth. And we're going to welcome them to America the way we know how, by beating them up.
You know, with something like this, it's not necessarily your first go-around, but do you ever get the sense of, are there still nerves there, and, you know, anxiety, just excitement when you go to events like this, or is it just kind of like any other normal day for you?
No, it's everything rolled into one. There's nerves, there's excitement, there's anxiety. You know, this is a highly anticipated tour. Ring of Honor is only getting bigger and bigger with every show we put on. And you add New Japan guys to it. New Japan right now is a big company also. And not only that, but LIJ is probably the top stable in New Japan at the moment. You know, Naito is just on fire everywhere you look. I mean, Chris Jericho is going after him. He's making waves all over the place in Japan. So you get the nerves and the anxiety and stuff with just how high profile of a match it is. But there's excitement too. You know, I love performing. I love wrestling. I'm in the ring with two of my best friends, with Silas and Brian. Silas and I have known each other for almost 18 years. You know, we know each other in and out of the ring. Our wives are best friends. It's always great performing with him. Then we added Brian to us, and I've gotten real close to Brian over the last year. So, you know, that kind of helps with the anxiety. But the excitement's always going to be there. I mean, to go out and do what we do is a dream. You know, it's a dream come true, and not many people can do it.
Well, talk about Brian a little bit. You know, for a big man, he's very athletic, very agile. Seems like nowadays, you know, the bigger guys tend to be lean that way, where they're agile and, you know, they're not just like power moves. Talk about a little bit about if you're going to scout Brian Malonis and talk about his the way he adds stuff to the group.
What I like about Brian is he's a lot like me. He breaks the mold for big guys. For years, it was always like, oh, there's a big fat guy. He's out of shape. He can't move, you know. And I always used to tell people when they said that about me, just watch me wrestle. I guarantee I'll turn your heads. I don't do things that normal big guys do, you know. Yeah, I do the brawling and the hitting and the mouth punching and stuff like that. But I'm also, you know, I'll jump off the top rope. I'll come off the apron with some dives. And what I liked about Brian while watching him in that Top Prospect tournament is he didn't wrestle like a normal big guy you'd expect. You know, he was out to make a statement that, yeah, he's a big guy, but he's agile and he can hold his own. And he opened my eyes when he did that. You know, and then talking to him in the back, and you listen to his theory on things, and we have a lot in common as far as putting matches together and the impact that we want to have. And his theory, you know, same as mine, like, you want to have a story, you know, cookie cutter fat guy in your head, fine, watch us wrestle, we're going to totally turn your heads. And that really, you know, drew my attention to him. when he joined with me and Silas, like, we love that because Silas and I have always been looked at as underdogs in Ring of Honor, you know. But we're two guys that when you put us together, we have some wins under our belts that really should make people stand up. You know, we've beaten the Bucks. We've beaten the Briscoes. We've won tag wars, you know. So now me and Malonis, they're adding Malonis to the group. We're hoping to do the same thing, you know, kind of turn some heads and make people notice us in a good way.
Talk about turning heads. I mean, Ring of Honor now seems to be like literally turning everyone's head with social media and so many people drawing eyes to Ring of Honor. Can you just talk about like literally the evolution of Ring of Honor from like where it started when you first got into it and where you see Ring of Honor going in the near future? Because it just seems to be picking up so much momentum and not stopping anytime soon.
What I love about Ring of Honor is they're a company that relies on the wrestlers. They let us have creative freedom. They know what they want done creatively when they come up and they'll tell us this is your match and this is what we want happen. But creatively in the match and stuff, they let us kind of be free. No real restraints. And I really love that. When I first started, you could see some rumblings of us making things notice. They had just gotten off HDNet. They're kind of looking for a home. Sinclair just got bought them. You know, contracts were just starting out. So it was really good to be part of that fledgling, you know, hungry attitude. The best thing about Ring of Honor is the locker room. Every guy in there wants to go out and have the best match of the night. And so if your first match is going out and setting the bar really high by having the best match of the night, your second match, third match, fourth match, you know, by the time you get to the main event, everybody's raising that bar. Only people that benefit from that are the fans. You know, you look at nowadays, I mean, Sinclair has basically given us the avenue to go out and be all over the TV. We have pay-per-views. We have the Honor Club now, which is a live streaming service. You can go back and watch old footage. I think it's amazing. I was telling Brian Malonis actually this year at Supercard of Honor that it's great seeing the growth because last year we didn't have a media room at Supercard of Honor. This year we had a media room where they had actual news reporters and podcasters, and ESPN was in there, Sports Illustrated was in there, and we were doing interviews with them, which is a big thing, because that means Ring of Honor is getting out in the media right now. And I think social media had a big help with that. I think being the elite that the Young Bucks have been using is a big thing, because it's bringing eyes on the product. And I think the future is nothing but good for Ring of Honor. I think we're just going to keep growing and growing and growing.
You know, talk about Supercard of Honor in New Orleans. We were there present for that event. Of course, it was headlined, but of course, you know, Kenny Omega and Cody. Just talk about, for example, just the feeling it was, because what we got from out of the locker room and from everybody there was, it was like, it's a huge team effort there in Ring of Honor to try to make it the best it can be. Just, you know, going back to that a few months ago, just talk about your emotions, though, for Supercard of Honor 12, you know, in front of like, in front of the largest crowd in Ring of Honor history. Just real quick, go back to that and just the emotions of that night.
Oh, it was amazing. One of the best nights of my career. I remember peeking out, and I normally don't take photos with my phone of crowds and stuff like that, you know, when I'm at live events. And this point in time, I figured out how to do video on my phone, and I took a video of just the crowd. It was in between matches, and, you know, they weren't cheering. It was just the crowd chilling out. But just the energy you could feel, you know, and it was – it's hard to describe, and I don't think I'll ever get that feeling again. I hope I do. I'm going to strive to get that feeling again. But it was amazing. It was a long day for talent. You know, we had a lot of media appearances. We had the Festival of Honor throughout the day, so we had a lot of autograph signings and, like, game show stuff like that. So at the end of the night, when we get back to the hotel room, actually, I didn't sleep at all that night because – by the time the show got over and we got food, I had to be back to the airport to get on my flight to come home. Gotcha. So I was up basically for 24 hours straight. But I remember when my wife picked me up at the airport, she goes, "You don't look tired." And I told her that adrenaline was still flowing to me from the night before. You know, like, it was just an amazing feeling. Amazing.
Oh, we're living vicariously through you right now. We're just reliving that moment. We can only imagine what you were going through
as
well.
Yeah, that was a whole lot of fun, that whole night.
I think I didn't sleep all day. Yeah, I didn't sleep the whole weekend. I was up the entire time from the excitement from Ring of Honor to all the events that happened during that weekend.
And talk about this too, though. That weekend was, of course, it's all around the WrestleMania weekend. But talk about going one-on-one with NXT TakeOver and Ring of Honor kind of being the talk of that Saturday, because the match was Cody and Kenny, and of course all the other matches on the undercard. Talk about Ring of Honor being the talk of that weekend, because a lot of people were obviously talking about Cody and Kenny. How did it feel to know that you guys are up par with an NXT and a WWE?
That felt amazing. That's actually the second time we've gone head-to-head with NXT. We had one time when we were in San Antonio, and they actually were running 20 minutes away from where we were running. And we sold out, and they didn't. And that's a really good feeling. You know, when they got the money of basically the McMahons behind them. And, we got Sinclair behind us, but, we've been kind of that underdog company when you look at WWE compared to Ring of Honor. And to know that we were the talk of the town, that we were the show to watch, is a really good feeling. I know every guy in that locker room leaves it all out in the ring. I know every guy, we get banged up, we get bruised, guys get hurt, and we work through injuries. And it's all to make Ring of Honor a better company and a better product. And I think when we start beating NXT like we have been, that's a good reward. That's a good feeling, like, hey, we're not doing it for nothing. It's actually paying off.
Yeah, it's been paying off, and it continues to pay off. And I think, like I spoke to you before, the momentum that's going, it's undeniable, and it just seems to be continuing. But also the momentum of just professional wrestling in general. For Jeff and I, we cover here professional wrestling on the High Spot Podcast, and it just seems to be a quote-unquote, like, just unspoken talk amongst all wrestling fans that, back in 2017 when Jeff and I were starting to talk about all this stuff and the build up, and it just seems like right now, especially in 2018, there's just so much content out there to go and so much for fans to go reach out and take a look at, whether it be Ring of Honor, whether it be another promotion. Can you just talk about the importance of social media for you in terms of not just branding Ring of Honor, but yourself as well? Because right now, from a fan's perspective looking into the business, it seems like a great time not only to be a fan, but to be somebody in the business where you can go out there, promote yourself, and make a name for yourself using tools like social media.
Well, I think it's great with social media right now, because you can reach fans in not only different states, but different countries. After doing an Honor Rising tour with Ring of Honor, I got a lot of Japanese followers on Twitter, on Facebook. My pro wrestling tees, they're buying shirts from there. I've had people from England hit me up, France, Germany, South Africa, just random countries, because they've seen my matches on YouTube, or they've seen them, gifts of me on Twitter or whatever social media platform it is. So I think social media is great, for branding. And if people aren't using social media right now, I think they're idiots. I think social media is the way of advertising right now. You want to connect with literally billions of people. Social media is the way to go.
No, it definitely is. It's a chance to, get your brand out there. But somebody who's, kind of really getting the acknowledgement that he deserves now is Silas Young. And I know you guys have his back. And it's a pretty big tour for Silas, because he's got Adam Hangman Page, who's taken 2018 by storm with having great matches with Bushi and of course Jay White too the past few months. And now Silas has got to take him on, as well as the anticipated match with Austin Aries in Chicago. Just talk about Silas as a performer and what you've learned from him, and just exactly how he's on fire right now heading into this tour.
Oh man, he is on fire, and I couldn't be happier for him. He's a guy that eats and breathes wrestling. I love traveling with him. Before we were both in Ring of Honor, we were in the Indies. We used to travel a lot together too. He was one of those guys where I've always liked him, was always drawn to him, because he always wanted wrestling to be his career, to be his life, and he was going to do whatever it took to do that. To now see him actually fulfilling that dream and making a living doing it, not only that, he's making such an impact in Ring of Honor. It makes me so proud. I've learned a lot. Like, when I got signed with Ring of Honor, he took me under his wing and kind of showed me the ropes of, like, the backstage stuff of how how Ring of Honor is different than the indies. Like, you, this is what you got to do here, and you got to do this here, and, you know, these are what pre-tapes are. And he really helped me get used to being on the TV and working cameras and stuff like that. So I owe him all the credit for that. I think he's going to tear it up on this tour. You know, you said the match with Adam Page. I think that's the sleeper match of the card, because a lot of people tend to look over Hangman Page and Silas Young, and they shouldn't, because these are two of the top guys. Hangman Page is one of I think he's the workhorse of the Bullet Club. The guy can't have bad matches. He goes out and literally tries to kill himself. And then you have Silas Young, who I don't think has had a bad match in how many months. He's a TV champion. He'll do whatever it takes to keep the belt. I think he's proven that with Kenny King, you know, so to watch these two just beat the crap out of me. I mean, you want to see a fight. That's what that's going to be, is a fight.
And I'm sure you guys also have some say in, you know, you have his back too. So that doesn't, you know, that helps him, you know, too, you know, it doesn't, you know, having you guys have his back. Yeah.
I'll always be around. I mean, we proved that with the Kenny King match, you know, like, you can't count me out. I'll always be there for him. Like, he can handle it on his own, but he's still got that ace in his pocket with me. You know, Aries wants to come and stick his nose in Ring of Honor's business. Like, he just chose the wrong guy. It's that simple. And we know Aries from the indies. We all broke in around the same time. And Silas used to beat him up on the indies, and I was just going to beat him up on national TV, you know?
Yeah, talk about that, the freedom that wrestlers have now. For example, you know, Austin Aries coming from Impact now, because, you know, formerly of WWE, he's been all over the world. He's, you know, the belt collector right now, and he's coming from Impact to Ring of Honor. It's the first time in a while that he's been, you know, he'll fight on Ring of Honor TV. Talk about that a little bit, and the freedom of wrestlers now that they have to come and go, and maybe these working relationships that you have with other companies that allow this to happen. And maybe right now it's you know, not like the 80s when the territories kind of like didn't help each other out, and now, you know, you guys are kind of helping each other out to make each individual company the best it can be.
I think it's cool that guys do that. I'm still a big fan of, like, the territory days, you know. I like the relationship Ring of Honor has with New Japan, where we'll run a Ring of Honor show and bring New Japan guys in, but they're still New Japan guys. You know, when we go over there, we're still Ring of Honor guys. We represent Ring of Honor. What Aries is doing is completely unheard of. You know, I mean, he's technically not an anybody guy. He's an Austin Aries guy, if you think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's doing his own thing, and it's working for him, which is great, you know. But I don't think too many guys can get away with that. You know, I get the companies helping one another out, but, like, I like the relationship. Like I said, I like the relationship like a Ring of Honor and a New Japan have, you know, where we're helping each other out. But I'm a fan of the territories. I'm a fan of competition. I like having competition. And if this company's doing really good, it's going to force me to do better, so my company does better than that company. And I think that's why wrestling becomes so good again. I think that's why the Monday Night Wars were so fun, because WCW was always doing stuff to make WWF look bad, and then WWF would do something to make WCW look bad. And us as fans, we got to watch that, you know, and we got to see all that good stuff happen, you know. Then WCW went away and wrestling became boring again, because there was only one company to go watch, you know. Well, wrestling's fun again, because now with social media, like you guys are saying, you can look up, you know, Progressive or ICW UK or New Japan or Ring of Honor, and you can see other styles of wrestling, you know. And I think that adds competition. I think that's a good thing.
It's definitely a good thing. And from the fans' perspective, like you're talking about, days like, you know, dating ourselves, Jeff and I, the glory days of the Monday Night Wars, how exciting it was, because it seemed like it was such a high point for the fans to enjoy. But speaking of fans and watching this business progress the way it has, I want to ask you personally, was there a definitive moment in your life where you were at a live event? Did you see a certain show on TV? What was the definitive moment in your mind when you captured and saw professional wrestling and you said to yourself, this is what I want to do?
The moment that I decided that I wanted to do it was when Mick Foley came off the cage at Hell in a Cell. I was in my friend's living room and we were watching it, and Foley came off the cage and he went through that first table and they did the whole thing. He came off the stretch and he climbed back up. I remember him going through it again and finishing the match. And if you guys remember, he does a run-in at the end of that pay-per-view on the Stone Cold match. And I remember Mick Foley was always a one of my idols. And I remember looking at my friend going, man, if I can become a wrestler, I'd do this. I want to do this. I want to find a way. And that's kind of how I got introduced to becoming a wrestler, because it just so happens that his neighbor was a professional wrestler. So it was me saying it to the right guy at the right time, you know, and then he introduced me to a wrestler, and that's how I got into wrestling. But it was that moment when Foley came off the cage where I was like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. You know, when I first saw Bruiser Brody's, when I became a fan, that was like, okay, I got to watch this, you know, forever. But Foley coming off the cage, that's when I was like, all right, this is something I want to do.
Oh, wow, what a great story that. I mean, did you ever have a chance to meet Mick Foley at all?
No, I have not met him yet. He's the one guy in the last 17 years of my career that I haven't met. However, on that Jericho cruise that I'm on, he's one of the guests on it. So I'm looking forward to spending some time with him.
Wow, that's awesome.
Oh, Beer City Bruiser will be tanning with the Jersey Record Crew because we will be there too. So we got to say what's up to each other, man. Maybe, that's great. Beer City Bruiser.
Well, the thing, it all starts with one beer, doesn't it? He's going to drink us into the table, seriously. There's no chance we can compete with him. But
I hope they have enough beer on that cruise ship. That's all I got to say.
I doubt they do, but you're going to definitely test it out, no doubt. But one more thing for me, I mean, and hopefully get a chance to meet Mick Foley and talk to him and tell him that story. I'm sure he'll appreciate it. But one final one for me is that, you know, you see it from the fans' perspective because you grew up and you saw that particular moment with Mick Foley. And now you're in the business yourself. And, you know, nowadays, you know, it's very easy for fans to get very fickle, you know, to be very picky and worrying about they feel that they should be booking and things of that nature. I mean, I'm sure you hear it all the time, especially around social media when people are, you know, kind of whining and complaining. From your perspective, you now see it from two different spheres. You see it from the fan side and you see it from in the business side. Do you think that's allowed you to better yourself as a performer? And which one do you lean towards more now? Now that you're in the business, has your perception skewed that way of being within the business, knowing you can't please everybody?
When I watch wrestling, I still try to watch it as a fan. You know, if I have a mindset I'm going to watch matches to learn something or to take something away from it, I kind of turn my fan off, my fan brain off, and watch it as a wrestler. But like with my kids and stuff, I because my kids have been around, you know, they were born when I broke into business, so like they know the business, they've been around it enough that I tell them, always be a fan. You know, every wrestler was a fan before they got into wrestling. Don't forget to be a fan. I go out when I have my matches, I go out and I try to have wrestling matches that I know fans will like. It's not going to please everybody. My wife always tells me, you know, you made it when you have haters.
It's true.
You know, so on Twitter, it'd be funny because I'll get announced for a match and we'll go through it and it'll be like, 3/4 positive and 1/4 haters. My wife says, well, you still made it. You still got those haters out there, you know, but I'm not going to change my style because 3 or 4 people don't like it. You know what I mean? Wrestling's like ice cream, you know, some people like vanilla, some people like strawberry, some people like chocolate. I'm not going to force somebody to like my flavor of ice cream, but I am going to go out there and have great matches. And I am going to try and make new fans, you know, the people that like the armchair book and stuff like that are people that have probably never been in a wrestling ring ever in their life and don't understand that wrestling is a business and you need to make money in wrestling. And these people always look at a one-off match. They don't look at a story they're trying to build or, you know, they're trying to build a character up or something like that, you know? So to me, I got my job being the Beer City Bruiser. So I'm going to continue being the Beer City Bruiser as long as the office keeps telling me to be the Beer City Bruiser, if that makes any sense.
And he'll definitely be the Beer City Bruiser on the Jericho Cruise in October. So, listen, want to thank you so much for joining us. It is Ring of Honor War of the Worlds Tour, Lowell, Massachusetts, Toronto, Ontario, Royal Oak, Michigan, and wrapping up in Chicago, Illinois, with one I'm looking forward to seeing in Silas Young and Austin Aries. But, of course, it's going to start up in Lowell, and we're going to have Silas Young, Brian Malonis, and, of course, Beer City Bruiser against L.I.J., Tetsuya Naito, Evil, and Sonata. You might be catching Naito with his mind on Jericho, so that could be an advantage to you guys, right?
Well, that, and then I also got Naito the next night in Toronto.
Yeah.
The second night, yeah, they just announced me and him in a singles match in Toronto, so I got him for 2 nights.
Wow, so that's
I feel sorry for Naito.
For Nate, yeah. Nate. All right, Beer City Bruiser, you can follow him on Twitter at BCB Winchester. Thank you so much, man. And, you know, looking forward to this week of Ring of Honor, man. Kill it. And Duffy, we'll say what's up to you on the cruise. And definitely, we got to do this again.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. A shout out once again to Beer City Bruiser. You can follow him on Twitter at BCB Winchester. Of course, he is part of that six-man tag team with Silas Young and Brian Malonis. And you can catch them on the Ring of Honor War of the Worlds tour that begins in Lowell, Mass., Toronto, Ontario, Royal Oak, Michigan, and winding down in Chicago, Illinois. It is going to be awesome. Silas Young will be involved in a very good matchup, the Casilla Show against Adam Hangman Page, and of course the big one with Austin Aries on Saturday, which will wrap up in Chicago, Illinois. So it's going to be a great event, and thanks to Beer City Bruiser for joining us.
It's going to be a war, Jeff. All over.
How about him and NATO, man, huh? Talk about that. And what a great segue to that is because Chris Jericho, he's back. Talk about that for a little bit. Your reaction.
He never left, baby.
Talk about him getting us once again, as he would say it, and his attack on NATO in Japan. Just, you know, the guy just continues to surprise us. He also continues to be the talk of the wrestling world. 1 second, he's in WWE for the Greatest Royal Rumble, and then he's in Japan beating the crap out of NATO. And if you get the audio of what he said afterwards when he's leaving to get into his car, vintage Jericho.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jeff, you were fooled. I wasn't fooled.
No.
I've known Jericho for quite a while.
Oh, yeah. You guys go way back.
And exactly. We go way back. And we think alike. Hell, we have a photo together because he knew who I was, Jeff. But I'm not surprised, though. You know, it was kind of a pleasant surprise to see because he had mentioned it several times when people were asking him, was he done with New Japan? And he would say, well, you know what? Talking about the whole contract, money issues, and things like that. So he brought up valid points. Now, whether they were true, I have no idea. I can't tell. But at the same time, you always felt there was still some unfinished business there.
Left if it never, wanting more.
Left yeah, it wanting left, more. Left you wanting more as a true showman as he is. So excited about it. You know, it's something that went away. But again, like he said, he left with good heat. So regardless if he did anything in the future in New Japan, it was still going to be good for him regardless. So great to see him there. I think, you know, him in a different environment like New Japan, just, you know, maybe it's nostalgia, bring some old school back to Chris Jericho. Another side we haven't seen. And with something that, you know, you and I talk about time and time again with Chris Jericho, it's just so great to see how he evolves all the time. And this is just another great indication that he continues to evolve. He continues to be one step ahead of everybody else. And I can't wait to see this because ultimately it's not about him wrestling for New Japan and not wrestling for the WWE, but it's just the ability how creative he is to create these storylines that kind of enthrall the fans like you and I. Can't wait to see this match.
And now this matchup will be June 9th. For Dominion, New Japan, for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship. It's going to be Chris Jericho versus Naito. It's going to be an amazing matchup. And, of course, you can catch Naito here in the States this week for War of the Worlds for Ring of Honor. So it's a great time to be a fan of Ring of Honor and New Japan. But also finding out that same night, on June 9th, you're going to get Kenny Omega versus Okada 4. And this time it's going to be a 2 out of 3 pinfalls match, and also a no time limit match, and you're going to get this matchup once again in Dominion. It's amazing, man. Looking forward to this. Just your thoughts real quick on Okada and Omega for the fourth time for New Japan Pro Wrestling.
I guess dreams really do come true if you believe hard enough.
Fourth time, yeah.
You know, when you wish upon a star, doesn't matter where you are. You know, quoting Walt Disney here, guys, but it's true because we're finally going to see it, and what, you know, it's very easy for us to say, Jeff, you know, oh, this is a dream match. We say that countless times to certain matches.
And then
they've
let us down, too.
We've never seen. And they've let us down. Don't feel it's going to happen here. What I'm excited for is that literally you could have built a whole pay-per-view on just this match alone, and you would have sold out the entire building. That's how strongly I feel about this rivalry, how it's kind of gone through weird phases where, you know, they've kind of been separated. They kind of been together. We thought, you know, Kenny was eventually going to become the new IWGP Heavyweight Champion. Now, in terms of what's going on with him in the Bull Club and in the series being the Elite, and now him wanting to be part of the Golden Lovers, being the best tag team out there, it kind of confuses me as a fan. Like, what direction do they plan on going? But I guess in a good sense too, because I don't know what's going to happen really. All I know is I'm going to get a great quality wrestling match.
Yeah, and you'll see it June 9th as well too. A loaded card right now, plus the return of Rey Mysterio to New Japan to see what he does still. We will, you know, talk about that card in the upcoming weeks and, you know, dissect it too, but it's going to be amazing. You get Jericho, Naito, and then you also get Kenny Omega versus Okada 4. You get War of the Worlds this week again. Ring of Honor is in the States, and they will be co-branded between New Japan and Ring of Honor, so that is great as well. So, you know, for all the backlash that Backlash is getting, you get some great wrestling coming up here in this weekend. You get the Ring of Honor, War of the Worlds, and all, of course, in June, you're going to get, of course, which will be a very much talked about Dominion New Japan show. So, I mean, it's awesome. And, you know, looking forward to it, man. It's a great time to be wrestling. And, you know, not only do we talk about WWE, not only do we talk about Ring of Honor, New Japan, Lucha, and everything else, we also talk about the UFC. And the UFC made some news this week as well, as they signed a new multi-year deal with Walt Disney Company and ESPN. They will be streaming UFC. And, you know, just the details on this, Fox kind of dropped the ball when they signed UFC. It just really wasn't a success as it was when they were on Spike. Let's be honest. When they were on Spike, I think that's when they had, I guess, the uptick for UFC was so much better. I think they kind of got lost in the shuffle with Fox. You know, and now it's a multi-year deal with ESPN through 2024, and then it will be $150 million annually for that. And that leaves the door open to the main question, how it affects you as the WWE fan or the consumer, is that now it leaves the door open for Fox to negotiate with World Wrestling Entertainment and whether or not they're going to make the jump from NBC Universal to Fox and Fox Sports 1 and 2. Just, you know, there needs to be a decision by September, I believe, where they will make the announcement whether they've re-signed with NBC or whether they're going to make the jump to Fox.
There's still time.
There's an opening there now.
Yeah.
Fox has tons of money. They're loaded. Going to have to fill a void there with no UFC. Don't know if they're going to be out of the UFC thing entirely, but it opens the door for Vince McMahon and World Wrestling Entertainment to get the deal that they want with Fox. Now that there's two sides competing, boy, where does it sound so familiar, Vince McMahon with two sides competing, should they make the move to Fox?
No, I don't think so. And if they do, though, the thing is, me being a business novice, Jeff, I think all the cards are on the deck for WWE. They have all the leverage now because Fox Sports dropped the ball with the UFC. To me, it's the equivalent
of, like...
You
agree with me, right?
They did. I agree with you. They did. To me, it's the equivalent, Jeff, of, like, when remember Turner signed with Time Warner and there was that merger, but Time Warner didn't know what they had when it came to professional wrestling and WCW. I think when the merger happened, when they got away from Spike TV or Paramount, now it's called the channel, and moved to Fox Sports, UFC thought this was going to be a great deal, but it really looked like Fox didn't know what to do with it at all. Now they're moving to ESPN. Great. ESPN does great coverage for the UFC when they're bringing up these events like the UFC Cards 225 that's coming up pretty soon. So great for UFC. And they actually help the WWE now for the mere fact that they put the leverage back on them because, it, say, for example, the WWE re-signs with NBC Universal. What an egg on the face that is for Fox Sports now, where they really don't have anything. They don't have UFC or WWE Entertainment. So all the cards are on them. You said they have a lot of money to spend, so they better be willing to spend all that money for WWE Entertainment, because right now that's the only thing that's probably going to help benefit them for the loss of the UFC. Granted, they didn't do much with it, but it's still a viable name, the UFC. And so to me, huge drop of the ball by Fox. And like I said, it's all in WWE's hands right now. So whatever, how funny, right? It's all in Vince's hands right now. And now he's got all the leverage. So whatever decision he makes, he definitely, with a guy like Vince, it's going to work the way he wants it to be done. And so if they've learned anything, is that, hey, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. And that's what they did with the UFC.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to be interesting. There's going to be rumor and speculation, rumor and innuendo this whole summer.
What do you summertime. Think? Do you think he resigns with Universal or goes to Fox right now with a big Fox egg on their face?
Tempting. I think that Fox deal will be tempting for Vince McMahon. I think they will take it. I just hope they don't get the generic Fox theme song again.
That opened up Raw? Just add a couple extra zeros on there and they'll be fine.
So there you have it. They're a huge week of professional wrestling, trendsetter. You got Ring of Honor, War of the Worlds. We want to thank Beer City Bruiser for joining us and talking about the whole week, the tour that, of course, winds down in Chicago. And, of course, one of the big matches there that he will be a part of, watching there and being supportive of Silas Young, the two-time Ring of Honor television champion.
How many times?
Two-time? Oh, God, I just stole there from Conrad. I'm watching too much. I'm watching.
You are. I'm watching, you really
too
are.
Much of the show. I really am.
You're showing a lot of mannerisms. You're starting to develop an accent too, Jeff.
An accent? What are you talking about?
Exactly. It's like when you start doing Kevin Owens, you start talking like him, and like, oh,
do Kevin Owens.
Ah, I can't do it. All right, so it's like, what's elbow? Coon. Oh, wrestling's teaching me English.
You know, I can't do it. So British, on the spot. I got you on the spot. But no, the huge week of professional wrestling. We want to thank Beer City Bruiser again. Ring of Honor, War of the Worlds is going to be amazing. You got New Japan Dominion coming up in June. Chris Jericho is once again in New Japan. So that's
once again, it's a double entendre. Like a big party mini.
And Chris Jericho's in New Japan once again, so that's going to be great too. And we got a great show for you next week too, Trendsetter, as we are very close to a very busy time for the Jersey Wrecking Crew, as we will, man, we got so many shows to do, man.
Yeah, we got IWF right around the corner for you know it, Pro Wrestling Magic, Battle Club Pro, all women shows on the horizon for us. Can't wait to cover those events, Jeff, with all the great female talent they're going to have on that show as well. And also being part of the Cheap Pops Podcast Network is always very exciting, Jeff.
Yeah, it's always awesome, man. Of course, it is Brian Fritz's and Michael Wiseman's baby. They are the flagship show on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. Between the Ropes drops every Wednesday, so make sure you listen to that. Then you got Cosmic Geppetto. Get the latest on everything pop culture. Sports guys talking wrestling. Stu Myers and Justin Simmons are two sports guys from Austin, Texas, talking pro wrestling. Stick to the Gimmick with Spencer Davies and Martin Harp, recapping everything that is NXT. And of course, you can listen to us also on the Shining Wizards and B Plus Player Radio Networks. You can listen to Kickin' Ass Podcast with Jesse and Andy, A Drink with Gino, and Shot of Wrestling, man. They got Mike Quackenbush on the show this week.
So really?
Yeah, Mike. Quack, quack, Quackenbush on the show.
That's awesome, dude.
And you can follow us on all our social media at iSpot Podcast. So you mean the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Snapchat. Do people use Snapchat anymore?
They do, but I'm still trying to figure it out myself.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's the Instagram and the Twitter and the Snapchat. If we're lazy on that, guys, we apologize. But catch us all on our social media platforms as well, and also on our website, highspotpodcast.com. Trendsetter. It's about that time again.
It's about that time again, guys. We have to bid you guys adieu.
That show up.
And we thank you guys for listening to the High Spot Podcast as Jeff starts to begin his journey of a singing career, very much like Marty. See, you're just trying to be just like Marty.
The final. How funny was that on The Elite? When they came back being The Elite and he gets fired because all he
sings is... I don't like the intro. I like the old intro with the video game.
The Elite.
Well, the song's the same, but I like Elite. It like with Kenny as the video game blowing up the thing, the money, Cody like holding his face as he breaks somebody, and Hangman hitting people with chairs, and Marty in the rain. But hey, you gotta get used to it, right? I'm just excited it's back because that was a big depressing thing. What was gonna happen? And just great that it's back, and it's like they can't do anything wrong. They really can. Yeah. Don't like their editing though for their episode though. It's kind of weird what they're doing there, but I guess they're doing that on purpose, which is why I'm talking about it. But guys, thank you so much for listening to the High Spot Podcast.
And one more thing, we have a huge announcement next week too, by the way.
Okay.
Biggest ever in High Spot Podcast history.
Well, you heard Jeff. He said that. So you guys, thank you for listening to the show.
History.
For my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, who won't shut up. I am
biggest
the trendsetter,
in history.
Brian Berga. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Thanking you so much for all the members listening and subscribing to our YouTube channel, following us on all the social media. Remember, guys, we do this for one reason and one reason only. We do this for you, the crew.
Biggest announcement in history.